Welcome back. In this lesson, we're getting into one of those jungle and old-school DnB details that can make or break the whole tune, how to make the kick feel heavy without stealing all your headroom, because in this style, the kick is not just a drum hit, it's part of the low-end engine. It has to punch through chopped breaks, hold its own against the bass, and still leave space for ragga vocals, reese layers, and all the energy around it. If you just turn it up, the whole mix gets cramped. If you route it intelligently, it sounds bigger at the same peak level. That's the game. So the first mindset shift is this. Think perceived weight, not raw volume. Start by isolating the kick on its own track. In Ableton Live 12, that can be the normal audio track, or a pad inside a drum rack if that's how you like to build. For this kind of DnB work, I usually like a clear setup, kick, break, percussion, bass, and any vocal chops or effects on their own lanes. Clean routing makes the whole low end easier to control. Now, before you process anything, get the raw kick sitting safely. A good starting point is to have it peaking around -10 to -8 dBFS. That gives you room to do parallel processing later without immediately slamming into the ceiling. And that headroom matters, especially at 170 BPM, where everything is happening fast. Next, we're going to split the kick into two rolls, transient and weight. This is the key move. The transient path is the front edge of the kick. That's the click, the attack, the bit your ear locks onto for punch. Keep this clean. On that path, use EQ8 and high pass gently around 25 to 30 Hz to remove useless rumble. You want to keep the attack sharp, but you do not want to overprocess it or smear it with saturation. Then make a second path for weight. This is where the body lives, the thump, the low harmonic energy. On that path, low pass somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz depending on the sample and the track. Then add some harmonic density with saturator or drum bus. Just a little. We're not trying to create a giant subkick that fights the bass line. We're trying to make the kick feel thicker and more physical. If the sample is a little weak, add a small boost around the kick's fundamental. In jungle and old school DnB, that often lands somewhere in the 45 to 65 Hz area, depending on the tune. But don't just blindly boost low end. First check whether the kick already has enough transient shape. Sometimes a kick feels bigger because the body is clearer, not because it's louder. That's where crest factor comes in. Big lesson here, a kick feels heavy when the relationship between peak and body is controlled. A strong transient plus a restrained, harmonically rich body often feels larger than just pushing more gain. On the weight chain, a starting point could be a Q8 into saturator, then a glue compressor, then utility. Try a few dB of drive on the saturator, soft clip on, and trim the output so you're not adding level by accident. Then use the glue compressor lightly, maybe only 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. Slowish attack, so the transient survives. Auto release, or something around 0.3 to 0.6 seconds. If the kick starts sounding flattened, back off. And if you want that slightly rude, ragga era grime, drum bus can work well too. But keep boom conservative. In DnB, too much boom can smear fast kick patterns and start fighting the sub instead of supporting it. Now, here's where a lot of people lose headroom. They let the kick and bass occupy the same space without any discipline. Don't do that. Keep the kick and bass on separate groups. Check the kick fundamental against the bass root. If they're colliding, carve a small pocket. You do not need a huge EQ move. Sometimes a 2 or 3 dB dip around the kick's fundamental in the bass is enough to restore clarity and headroom. Or if the kick is masking the bass, give the kick body a tiny boost in that zone and leave the bass a little leaner there. If your bass is a reese, especially a wide one, keep the very low layer filtered lower than about 100 to 120 Hz and let the stereo movement happen higher up. The kick should own the moment of impact. The bass should support the groove and keep the pressure moving. Also, check the kick in context with a break, not just in solo. That's a big one in jungle. The break often masks the kick's body more than the bass does. So if the kick seems to disappear, don't automatically make it louder. Try carving a small space in the break around the kick's attack zone. Sometimes that's the smarter move. You're not just mixing one drum, you're mixing a rhythm ecosystem. For the drum bus, aim for glue, not brute force. If you've got kick, breaks, hats, and percussion all grouped together, a little glue compressor can help bind things, but don't crush it. Set it for maybe 1 to 2 dB of reduction on the loud hits. Keep the attack slow enough that the kick still punches through. If you overcompress the drum bus, the whole jungle groove can lose its snap and start feeling sticky. And if the bus starts eating headroom, trim it there. Don't wait until the master to fix it. Now let's talk about the bass sidechain, because this is where you make room without killing the vibe. In old-school DNB, the bass often dances around the kick rather than fully ducking like modern EDM. So sidechain with intention, put a compressor on the bass, feed it from the kick, and use a modest ratio. Something like 2:1 to 4:1 is a good start. Attack around 1 to 10 milliseconds, release somewhere around 60 to 150 milliseconds, depending on the groove. You're usually aiming for only 1 to 4 dB of gain reduction. If the bass is a layered release, consider sidechaining only the low layer more heavily and letting the mid layer breathe a bit more freely. That keeps the low end stable while preserving the movement in the mids. Now, one of the nicest things you can do in an arrangement is automate the kick weight. Don't keep it identical for 64 bars. That's where contrast becomes a headroom tool and an arrangement tool at the same time. In the intro, keep the kick thinner and more filtered. In the first drop, open up the weight chain fully. In a switch up, pull back the kick body a little and let the break or vocal chop take focus. Then, when the full kick comes back, it hits harder because the listener has felt the absence. That's especially effective with rag elements. A filtered kick before a dry vocal stab, then the full weight return on the drop, can feel massive without needing more volume. You can also automate saturator drive, drum bus amount, EQ low shelf, or utility gain on the weight chain. Just small moves. Think in phrases. Not every single hit. And if you want the sound to feel more cohesive and old school, resampling is your friend. Once the kick and drum bus balance feels right, record the drum pass to a new audio track. Consolidate a good section. Edit the tail if one hit is hanging too long into the next groove. This is super useful in DNB, because it helps you commit to the bounce instead of endlessly tweaking while the arrangement stays flat. Resampling also lets you add little reverse tails, micro fills, or one extra hit before a drop. Just make sure the bounce isn't printed too hot. Leave a few dB of room so you can rebalance later if needed. Now, a few common mistakes to watch out for. First, don't make the kick too sub-heavy. High-pass the useless rumble below around 25 to 30 Hz and let the bass own the sustained sub-zone. Second, don't crush the transient. If the attack gets flattened, the kick may feel smaller, even if it's technically louder. Third, don't let the kick and bass fight at the same fundamental. A small EQ adjustment can fix what a huge volume increase can't. Fourth, be careful with drum bus boom. In this style, subtlety wins. And fifth, always check mono. Keep the low end centered. If the kick is all over the stereo field, or if the sub disappears in mono, that's a problem. Here's a pro move I really like for heavier DNB. Use a multi-stage kick path. One path for transient, one for body, and maybe the third parallel grit path. Then blend them with a macro that gives you a clean rollers version and a dirty to rag a pressure version from the same setup. You can even go one step further and split the parallel return into a low band and a mid band, so the kick stays audible on smaller speakers without inflating sub energy. That's a very smart way to get presence without abusing the low end. If you want more old school character, try a tiny pitch envelope on the kick and simpler. A slight downward glide can make the hit feel more physical and a bit more rave-like. And if the track is harmonically busy, tune the kick body to a note that supports the bass root or a strong related tone. Even a small pitch adjustment can reduce low-end conflict. So here's the core takeaway. Don't treat the kick like a thing to just make loud. Treat it like a routed low-end element with different jobs. Transient, body, and interaction with the bass. When you manage those separately in Ableton Live 12, the kick feels heavier, the bass stays clearer, and the master bus breathes. That means the whole drop hits harder, the breaks stay lively, and the ragga energy comes through with way more impact. That's the jungle mindset. More pressure, less clutter. Now go build that routing, keep the headroom clean, and let the kick hit like it means it.